Good morning, and thanks to Pastor Norman for allowing me to share this morning. My name is Ace Chung, and I have to come to you as a sinner. I have many faults, and I do many things wrong in life, but I am also forgiven by God, and it is because of His grace that I have the privilege of sharing about His loving forgiveness this morning. Before going on, I thought I should introduce my family to you. My wife Cecilia and I grew up in Edmonton, and our daughters Elise and Isla were born in Edmonton and raised mostly in Niger. Elise started university this year, and Isla is in grade 11. We've been serving in Niger since 2006 in development and discipleship among the Tuaregs. This is a picture of us leaving our house in Niger for the airport. Niger closed its international borders in March, so we're very thankful to have flown back to Canada in July after many canceled flights. We wore masks for 30 hours, taking them off briefly for meals. And before I go on, I'd like to share a short public service announcement about masks that I found was really helpful. Treat your mask like underwear. Do not touch or adjust it, especially in public. Do not borrow or lend. Make sure it fits tight but comfortably. Make sure it's clean daily or as needed. Wear the right side out. If there's holes in it, throw it away. If it's stained, throw it away. If it's damp, change it. We feel blessed and privileged to be serving with the Christian and Missionary Alliance, and we continue to feel God's call to serve in Niger, so we plan to return there next summer. We're deeply grateful for the support we receive from the national office, churches just like yourself, and many brothers and sisters in Christ and our families. This leads me to my second announcement, and it's from Global Ministries, the body through whom churches send us out. They were instrumental in getting us back to Edmonton in time to prepare the girls for school. Please enjoy this short video about the Jaffrey Project from Global Ministries.
When I was 16 years old, I was focused on school, working a part-time job, and spending time with my friends. I believed in God, but I wasn't willing to be radical. When Robert Jaffrey was 16, he gave his life to Christ, and shortly after that, he was mentored by the founder of the Christian and Missionary Alliance, A.B. Simpson. Jaffrey had a burning passion for missions, which led to conflict at home. His father owned one of Canada's most successful newspapers. Robert Jaffrey Sr. intended to pass his money, influence, and power onto his son, but only if his son chose not to pursue missions. Jaffrey faced an ultimatum, and he chose to follow God. In his 20s, God led him to China. Jaffrey and his colleagues led many people to faith in Jesus in the Guangxi province, and they planted churches in the Wuzhou areas of China. In his 30s, Jaffrey launched a venture into Vietnam. Today, the Christian and Missionary Alliance in Vietnam has more than 1 million members and over 550 ordained pastors and over 2,500 churches. There are people all over the world who are eager to hear more about God. The Jaffrey Project sends international workers to least-reached people groups such as the Fulani, Wolof, Yazidi, and Balinese Hindus. This annual campaign launches new workers and supports the Global Advance Fund so we can keep expanding the kingdom. This is our fifth year hosting the Jaffrey Project. In that time, Jaffrey offerings have exceeded $1 million and helped our international workers begin direct engagement with 11 additional people groups. This year, the Jaffrey Project is targeted to raise at least $250,000 to send international workers to the Tuareg and Fulani in Western and Central Africa, the Aziri in the Middle East, and to establish a presence in South Asia. COVID-19 has affected every one of these places. The means, the logistics of sending are much more difficult, but it also means the need has never been greater. Together, we can meet this need. COVID-19 has also impacted our churches here in Canada. In response, this year's Jaffrey resources are geared toward online ministry, with online giving at the forefront. To make the Jaffrey Project a reality for you, give your Jaffrey gift through your Alliance Church or directly at cmacan.org. We're confident that once again this year, we can come together to reach people in places where few or none have heard.
So what does the CNMA do? What is its vision? The vision of the CNMA is best summed up in our vision prayer. O God, with all our hearts, we long for you. Come transform us to be Christ-centered, Spirit-empowered, mission-focused people, multiplying disciples everywhere. God is so awesome and wonderful that we desire him. Our desire is beyond things or gifts from him. Our deepest longing is to have him in our lives and in our hearts. And we want the rest of the world to have the peace, joy, and freedom of living in God's love too. Today I'm sharing about God's love in Luke chapter 7. And at this point, Jesus is in the middle of his ministry years. So far, Jesus has resisted temptation, he has healed people physically and spiritually, and he's been preaching the good news of God's kingdom. In Luke chapter 6, Jesus makes religious experts seriously angry when he heals a man's hand on the holy day of the Sabbath. Don't do that in front of Pharisees. His teachings are equally radical for his times. He declares blessings for the poor, hungry, and hated. He teaches his followers to love their enemies and not to judge. He even boldly announces that a foreigner's faith was greater than any Jew. Pharisees were among the religious experts whom Jesus made angry. Jesus was a problem, and Pharisees had to do something about him. Pharisees interpreted the holy law. They modeled how to observe the most essential laws of purity. Washing was especially sacred to them. Then in Luke chapter 7, verse 36, in the middle of all of this, we curiously find Jesus being invited by Simon, a Pharisee, to eat with him. And Jesus accepts. We're not told why Simon invites Jesus to a meal. Yet Jesus goes and patiently teaches him about what God is really like. The meal doesn't start well. Simon, an expert in purity and washing, doesn't offer water to Jesus for his feet. But Jesus doesn't say anything yet. Then a woman comes and starts weeping by his feet. This is not an ordinary sight, and this is not an ordinary woman. She's a sinner, and everyone knows it. But she comes to Jesus and weeps, and Jesus does not pull away. She weeps so close to Jesus that her tears land on his feet. I wonder if she was overcome with being in the presence of Jesus, just awestruck by his teachings to turn the other cheek. Perhaps because she had no power to do anything else but turn the other cheek. Or maybe she hung on to the words that the Father is merciful, that we should not judge nor condemn, but we should forgive instead. And when her tears landed on Jesus' feet, she notices that his feet haven't been washed yet. I imagine her head is bowed, unable to stand tall because of her reputation. She's not defiant, she's broken and remorseful for her sins. She sees her hair as she looks down at Jesus' feet, so she starts wiping the dirt off of them with her hair. She can't help but feel a pure love and acceptance from Jesus, so she starts kissing his feet to express her pure, humble love back. But she's a sinner, and Jesus is so holy. Jesus deserves so much more. She remembers the expensive perfume she brought for Jesus and pours it onto his feet. And when Simon starts judging Jesus and the woman, Jesus teaches Simon, through this lowly sinner, how to truly be close to God. From this unique encounter, we could say that love is not blind. Hate is. Simon the Pharisee does not see the woman as someone to forgive. He was blinded by his hate of anything impure and wrong. He was living in darkness. Jesus, the Son of God, knows very well that this woman is a sinner, and he offers her forgiveness. His love sees and chooses to forgive. Forgiveness is not forgetting or condoning bad behavior, and it doesn't always lead to trusting again. Forgiveness is difficult to define, but there's a helpful test for forgiveness, the blessing test. I have likely forgiven someone when I can bless them. And sometimes blessing someone is a step in the process of forgiving. How many times have I been blind to an opportunity to offer forgiveness? Is there someone I am blind to forgiving right now? The Holy Spirit convicts me that I judge others often. That can hurt to be shown how shamefully we've been acting. But God does this gently and respectfully for my good and for the good of others around me. I know you must be wondering, how could a God-fearing missionary judge others, especially one like me? Just kidding. Well, I guess it's confession time. In Niger, we have guards for our houses, and our night guard, Boubacar, likes to talk, and that's fine, but I like to eat, especially with my family. So during supper, Boubacar rings the bell, and bing, in comes judgment number one. I wonder if Boubacar is disturbing me for no good reason. He tells me that the ceiling fan is on outside in the porch. And then confession number two. I blame my wife, Cecilia, and she even hears me because we were just eating at the table. I tell Boubacar that Cecilia had a meeting outside today, so she probably forgot to turn the fan off. I go outside and the fan switch is actually off. I turn it on and I hear the main breaker click. The whole house is dark. So it wasn't Cecilia. It turned out to be a loose wire causing a short circuit. Judge and blame, judge and blame. It's an unfortunate reflex I have, but by God's grace, I am learning to change. Back to Luke. Notice that Simon not only judges the sinful woman, but he judges Jesus. He says that if Jesus was a prophet, he would know better. How often do I judge people when God already knows they are sinners? How often do I judge God and say, God, you should have done this or done that? And how often am I actually judging myself when I do this? Because judging someone doesn't expose who they are, it shows who I am. We see from Simon that we can also downplay the size of our debt. We can even forget that we have any debt at all. Jesus sees the Pharisee is wrong and he gently and respectfully teaches him. He teaches through a story in a way that the Pharisee would understand, gently and respectfully. Does the Pharisee really have fewer sins than the woman? Maybe, but maybe not. We see the Pharisee sin without doing anything at all. He's judgmental and proud, and he selfishly overlooks giving water to Jesus for his feet. I'd like to ask Cecilia to come talk about one of the challenges of sharing about forgiveness.
My friend Allie and I have had good conversations over cups of sweet Torig tea. She comes from a poor but respected family. Allie works hard, she obeys her parents, and stays out of trouble. In Niger, staying out of trouble for a young lady means staying at home. She leaves the family courtyard only when she has permission from her father. Usually, it's to attend special occasions like weddings and baby naming ceremonies. A typical day for Allie includes cooking meals and washing clothes, sweeping the courtyard, watching over the family goats, and most importantly, caring for her younger disabled brother. Allie is also a tailor, so she sews and earns income for her family. One day she told me about a mutual friend of ours who had offended her, and this led to a conversation about forgiveness and sin. While she readily agreed that her friend sinned against her and that she needed to forgive her, she didn't think of herself as someone who needed forgiveness from anyone, even from God. In her own estimation, she was a good person. She was someone who followed the rules and who wasn't as sinful as others. Unfortunately, her comparison was poorly chosen. Instead of comparing other people to herself and thinking that they were sinful and she herself was less sinful, The proper comparison would be for her to compare herself, a sinner, to God, who is holy and sinless.
Thank you, Cecilia. How often do we all deny we have any sins? To me, this story in the Bible seems a bit unfinished. We don't see what Simon does afterwards. I wonder if God meant for an open ending, so that we would ask ourselves, what would I do if I was Simon? How do I react when God gently points out my heart of judgment? Our Alliance prayer is that the Heavenly Father would transform us. Why would we want to change? Research has found that unforgiveness can cause unhealthy anger, anxiety, depression, low self-esteem, and hurt in relationships. Forgiveness, on the other hand, has been found to reverse all of these, reduce stress, and decrease negative emotions. Forgiveness can also lead to fewer heart problems and better immune system performance. Scientists also found that children do not offer forgiveness freely. Holding a grudge is unfortunately natural, but we can learn to forgive unconditionally without expecting apology or even remorse from the offender. Just like God the Father, who forgave us even while we were sinners. I forgive you, you forgive me. Kind of like wearing masks. I wear a mask to protect you, you wear a mask to protect me. And actually, it doesn't matter if you don't wear a mask, I can still choose to wear mine. And just like I can't force anyone else to wear a mask, I can't force anyone else to offer or even accept forgiveness. But I can always offer forgiveness. The price for forgiveness has been paid, but that doesn't always mean that the damage of sin disappears. Healing and recovery can take time, and there may be actions to take. Forgiveness is not the end, it's a beginning. Forgiveness is where we are called to start, not judgment. So make an appointment with God this week. Have a coffee with Him, go on a hike, or sit quietly with Him. Make it a date. Read this passage slowly and ask the Holy Spirit to speak. Then listen for His voice. Who do I need to forgive, truly and fully forgive? A friend, a neighbor, a family member, yourself, maybe God. And how can I guide others gently towards forgiveness as well? May we, as disciples of Jesus Christ, make the church, our homes, wherever we are, physically or online, spaces that offer forgiveness like Jesus. May you be blessed with our Father's forgiving love. He says, your sins are forgiven. Amen.